Let's continue reading verses 1 through 11 of Romans chapter 8. In this first section of Romans 8, we have the good news that there is a solution to the problem of sin in our lives. The law of sin can be overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Once again, let's begin now with some background notes. Romans chapter 8 is one of the great chapters in the Bible. If Romans chapter 3 is the gospel for the sinner, Romans chapter 8 is the gospel or good news for the saint. In Romans chapter 3, we learn about God's wonderful plan of salvation for the unsaved sinner. In Romans chapter 8, we learn about God's wonderful plan of sanctification for the saved sinner. Back in Romans 6, we are told that because of our union with Christ, we have died to sin and are alive in Christ. This is our spiritual position. Because Christ died for sin and we are united with Christ, the power of sin over us has been broken. Now, realizing and reckoning this truth, that is, counting it to be true and living in the good of it, this is the first step in gaining victory over sin. As Romans 6 says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Verse 14. We are no longer slaves of sin. Verse 6. And sin should no longer reign in our mortal bodies. Verse 12. But this great truth of Romans 6 does not mean that sin is no longer a problem for us. The problem of indwelling sin is very real. Even though we have a new nature, which automatically serves the law of God, we still have the sinful nature or flesh, which serves the law of sin. Chapter 7, verse 25. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So we need more than the new nature. We need power for this new life that we have in Christ. Well, guess what? There is power. God has provided his Holy Spirit to enable and empower this new life. This is the very power that raised our Lord from the dead, as verse 11 says. Every believer has new life in Christ, and every believer is indwelt of the Holy Spirit. Look at the end of verse 9. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. In other words, everyone who is a believer does have the Holy Spirit. So every believer is indwelt of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit empowers that new life as we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, as verse 4 here says. This is the solution to overcoming the law of sin, the new divine life that we have empowered by the Holy Spirit. A lot more we could say there, but we need to move on now to our doctrinal points. Doctrinal or teaching point number 1. The power of the Spirit overcomes the law of sin and death. The power of the Spirit overcomes the law of sin and death. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Illustration. People and birds are both subject to the law of gravity, right? Well, how come birds can fly and people can't? Answer. There is another law at work in the case of the birds. Let's call it the law of flight. Now, the law of flight does not eliminate the law of gravity, but it overcomes the law of gravity. In the same way, the law of the Spirit does not eliminate the law of sin and death, but it overcomes it. The law of sin and death is still at work in our mortal bodies because of indwelling sin, as we've seen. As Christians, we are born again. We have new life in Christ. But this new life from God cannot overcome the law of sin without power. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit enables and empowers the new life that we have in Christ. That's the way it works, folks. The power of the Spirit overcomes the law of sin and death. Doctrinal point number two. The power of the Spirit fulfills the requirements of the law. The power of the Spirit fulfills the requirements of the law. Verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The law of God is good, and it shows God's standards. But the Ten Commandments do not give us power over sin. But the Son of God became man, so that he could go to the cross and die for sin. Note that verse 3 says that the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, came in the likeness of sinful flesh. The idea here is not that he had sin. No way. The idea here is that he became fully man. He was 100% God and 100% man, but without sin. The likeness of sinful flesh, all right? The Lord Jesus not only died for our sins, but for our sin. That is, our sinful natures. Notice the end of verse 3. He condemned sin in the flesh. Notice that the sinful nature is condemned, not forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. Our sinful natures are condemned. So the work of Christ on the cross took care of what we've done, our sins, and it also took care of what we are. Our sinful natures were taken care of. So now, even though we still have the sinful nature until we get our resurrected bodies, as we see in verse 11, until that time, the Holy Spirit is free to come in and empower the new life. And he will, if we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, as we see in verse 4. Notice, it is a walk, not a work. Now, how do you walk after the Spirit? Answer, get involved in the things that the Spirit of God is involved in, as verse 5 says. So get more involved in the study of Scripture, prayer, Christian fellowship, Christian service. That's walking after the Spirit. In summary, walking after the Spirit means more occupation with Christ. Now look at what verse 4 says is the result. The righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Notice, it's fulfilled in us, not by us. In other words, what we couldn't do in our own strength, namely follow the law of God, it's now automatically fulfilled in us if we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. The power of the Spirit fulfills the requirements of the law. Now, no Christian walks after the Spirit 100%, 100% of the time. But I think you can see the principle. The power of the Spirit fulfills the requirements of the law. Doctrinal point number 3. The power of the Spirit gives life and peace. The power of the Spirit gives life and peace. Verse 6 and verse 10. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Believers are not in the flesh, as we see from verse 9. but because believers still have the sinful nature in this lifetime, it is possible for the Christian to walk after the flesh and not after the Spirit. In terms of Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3, this is to put on the old man and not put on the new man. To walk after the flesh, or set your mind on the things of the flesh, is to be on the path of death, as we see here in verse 9. Death means separation. For the unbeliever, there is eternal separation from God. But when a Christian walks after the flesh, there is a separation from God, not in relationship, but in fellowship. Why? Because the carnal mind, or sinful mind, or mind of the flesh, or mindset on the desires of the flesh, is hostile towards God, verse 7, and cannot please God, verse 8. But to walk after the Spirit, you see, is to have life and peace. Not only eternal life when we die, and not only a live, resurrected body when this mortal body with a sinful nature is gone, as verse 11 says, but also life and peace now. Remember, our Lord Jesus said in John 10, in verse 10, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You want to experience the abundant life? You want to know the peace of God in your life? It can happen to you. I mean, as a Christian. I've seen Christian students of mine, for the first time, begin to experience the abundant life that Christ offers, and to really experience the restful peace of mind and heart that's available. How's it come about? They begin to walk more according to the Spirit and less according to the flesh. That is, they begin to get more involved in the things of the Lord, more occupied with Christ. Just this past spring break, we sent a student team down to Mexico. By getting down there and getting involved in the work of the Lord there, some of these kids came back transformed, really knowing what the abundant life was all about and what true peace of mind and heart is all about. The power of the Spirit gives life and peace. All right, practical application. Feed the new and starve the old. Feed the new and starve the old. Suppose we had two flowering plants. What would we do if we wanted to make one continue to grow and thrive and let the other one not grow and thrive? Well, it's obvious. We'd water one, fertilize it, etc., etc., and we wouldn't do anything to the other one. I think you already see the illustration. Let's label the plants the new nature and the old nature. All right? Continue to feed the new nature. Continue to walk according to the Spirit, more involved in the things of the Lord. And just starve the flesh. Starve the old. Don't water it. Because if you do, the sinful nature will thrive. Feed the new, starve the old. That's the key to true victory in the Christian life.